Before we open God's word, let's bow our heads to pray. Father God in heaven, we come before your majesty and your holy throne and thank you that you are a great and gracious God. Father, we thank you so much for what we learned in this morning hour about how we are to be unified as one body in Christ, that every member is different, yet we all supply the necessary love and compassion one towards another, speaking the truth in love, that we may grow as a body, that we may be compassionate to each other, and that the world may see that we are believers by the way we treat one another. Help us, Lord, to have that compassion and passion for each other, for the lost. Lord, as we delve into your word, we thank you that your word is alive and makes us and quickens us and regenerates us. We pray for those that do not know you as Lord and Savior, that have not repented of their sins, turned and trusted in Christ, and had faith in him. We pray that in this afternoon hour, you would draw and call many unto repentance. We pray this all in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. For this afternoon service, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. The Apostle Paul writes, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, and he that giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose, revived, that he might be both Lord of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For as it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded of the Lord that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I conclude reading with the last verse.
To thee, the eternal God, our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we who are but as grass, we are here for a moment and then gone. Father, that thou art eternal, and thou art from everlasting to everlasting, and we glorify thee as such. And we come as thy creation, worshiping thee, our Creator. And Father, we know that when we have this proper perspective of this truth, Father, that we find this fulfillment and this joy in worshiping thee and glorifying thee in spirit and in truth. And so, Father, in this day, Lord, we as thy children in this place, Father, would come together and would worship thee in spirit and in truth and would look to thy word for this rock of truth, and that we would be persuaded that it is truth. And Lord, we know that thy word abideth forever. And so we look to thee, dear God, and we thank thee for this anchor in our lives that gives us direction, and that is a light to our feet and guides us in our way. And so we thank thee, God, that thou art teaching us, Lord, that there is nothing unclean of itself, Father, but that all things, Lord, are clean in thy sight. And Lord, we know that thy kingdom is not about meat and drink, Father, but it is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, Father, we just pray thee that our thoughts and our mind would be taught by thee, that we would align ourselves with thee, and that we would be directed in each and every way by this thy word that gives life. And so, Father, we just pray thee that thy word would go forth in truth yet again this afternoon, as it has this morning. And we just pray thee that we would be stewards and students of thy word, that we would also live thereby and give thee the honor and the glory in our living here below. Father, help us that in our life, Father, that we would not bring the focus to ourselves, Father, but that the focus would always be to Jesus Christ and him crucified and him arisen. Father, help us there too, Lord, that in everything that we do, Lord, in all that we say, in everywhere we go, Father, that it would reflect that Jesus Christ is Lord. And may we further thy kingdom here upon this earth, to be thy hands and thy feet, doing what thou wouldst have us to do, as good stewards of thine. And so, Father, we would pray, Lord, that thou wouldst help each and every one. Father, there is none of us here, not one, Father, that is living a perfect life, that life is going perfectly for. We all have troubles, we all have trials, we all have our concerns, Father. Lord, help us to just rest in thee, to place all our faith and confidence that whatever it is that we are currently struggling with, Father, that thou will provide. Thou will provide a path and a way, Lord, as we look to thee. And so help us just to have that faith in thee and wait upon thee, whatever that circumstance might be. And so, Father, we would pray again as we have just prayed before the reading, Lord, that those who know thee not would be drawn unto thee, would recognize just how good thou art to them, and that they can experience thy love and thy saving grace that can be given unto them as well. And so we just pray thee now that thou wouldst speak to our hearts. Lord, bless us one and all. We'll just love thee and thank thee for all the things that thou dost do. Great is thy name, great are thy works, and we glorify thee for all these things, and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Knowing that I would be here today, yesterday as I was thinking about what some of the things that I could speak on or what scripture I would preach from, I had something else in mind. And then after hearing this morning's service, as Brother Allen spoke about unity in the Spirit and unity in Christ, and how we as a body of believers need to be working together, Having had a series of sermons in Mansfield on how a weak believer and a strong believer should interact, I felt compelled, maybe I saw the fingerprints of God, that this would be a topic. While all Scripture is good for meditation upon, all Scripture is beneficial and builds up the body. I feel that based on this morning service that I'd like to continue on, because Brother Allen had a very powerful and godly message, very, very well delivered, and the Spirit was moving and the Scriptures came alive. So I'd like to continue on with this topic, and the topic is basically, how do weak believers and strong believers get along? I think if we look through the Christian church in the past 200 years, even 50, 60 years, I think sometimes we see that the church has done a lousy job. Lousy job of resolving issues of such nature as the Apostle Paul here talks about between believers. I think the Apostle Paul first and foremost talks about there's going to be weak and strong believers amongst us. And this shouldn't surprise us, right? If you look at your families, those of us when we had families, when your kids were younger, maybe you had an age of baby was one was five, and one was 10. And one was almost driving. Each very different. And you treated every one of them differently. You would not give your one-year-old the nail gun that you give your 16-year-old to make walls in your basement as you're rebuilding your basement. You wouldn't do that to your one-year-old, because the one-year-old is weak, is not able to handling an air gun with nails, because it could be very, very dangerous. And so I think sometimes as Christians, we get maybe frustrated that some are weak and some are strong, and we think we should all be a strong church. But in fact, as we grow in Christ, we've also seen people that have, and brothers and sisters that have been believers for many years, and yet they're still in infancy. They still haven't grown. They still haven't matured. We see that in the body of Christ. We see that sometimes even in human beings. You know, we all at times would want our children. We love our children when they're like 3, 7, 8 years old, 10, when they're smaller and they listen to you. We love them at all ages, right? But when they're that age, there's something special about that. We can all attest to that. But would we really want our 10-year-old to remain a 10-year-old mind in a 40-year-old body? We have a word for that in the English language. That's mentally handicapped. So the idea that there's going to be weak and strong in the church, we can understand it. In our families, we have it. And the idea is we want the ones that are weak to grow. The ones that are weak to grow. And what's important also to remember is there's not always, all of us are not always strong and always weak. On some issues, brothers and sisters, we're going to be strong on. We're going to have an understanding that we can eat this meat. We're going to have an understanding. And maybe on some issues, the very same brother, and I can attest to this, there's been times in my life I've been strong. I've understood the gospel message. I understood what I could and couldn't do. And then there's been times that I was more weak at the very same time on a different issue. So we can't categorically say, that brother is strong. That brother, that sister is weak. There are times we may fit into both categories at the same time. But what I'd like to do in this afternoon hour, obviously I'm not going to preach 3 sermons in one, but I'd like to give kind of an overview of this chapter and maybe give us the tools as believers to delve into this word and maybe go verse by verse down it and really find out how do weak and strong believers get along. As Brother Allen preached in this morning hour, the unity has to be till we all come into the unity of the faith, into the nurture and the stature of Jesus Christ. And one of the first things that when we read here in Romans chapter 14 is the word Lord is mentioned. In verse 6, it says, he that regardeth the day, regardeth it to the Lord, he giveth God thanks, God thanks. And we see, for to this end, Christ died. We have to remember our unity, brothers and sisters, is not in the individual decisions that we make and how we raise our children, in the individual entertainments that we do, our hobbies that we have, the types of clothes that we wear. You know, when I look out at this audience here, this congregation, we don't all look the same, nor should we, brothers and sisters. When you think about the Trinity, think of the diversity in the Trinity itself. You have Father, you have Son and Holy Ghost. You have Father who's almost like the architect. You have the Spirit that empowers, and you have Jesus as the all three are God. Three persons, one being. The diversity in the Trinity is huge and immense. And sometimes as believers, we try to hedge the believer. We try to hedge each other into a certain box that fits our desires. I look out at nature. Take a look at nature and see the diversity in nature. But there's a unity also in nature. And we see God's, the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, we can see the glory of God. You can't see this glory that's in this beautiful sun that we have outside, the blue skies, the green trees, green grass. You can't see that and then understand that we serve a complex, diverse God. And so, brothers and sisters, there's also going to be diversity in the body of Christ. And unity has to be in Christ alone. It's not in these issues that we surround ourselves with. The word that I learned that brought this forward was it's not these adiaphorous issues. These are issues that are neither right nor wrong. It's neither right nor wrong. We think about the computer screen. It's neither right nor wrong to have a computer screen. To have a smartphone. Those are adiaphorous issues. They're not in and of themselves evil. Sports, in and of themselves, a ball is not evil. It's not satanic. The fiber in the ball is not satanic. A cathode ray tube, the way TV was in the past, in and of itself is not satanic. The box in which it is, the legs, those aren't evil in and of themselves. So we as believers, brothers and sisters, when we engage with one another, the Bible says there are going to be disputations. There's going to be problems. When humans get together, even believers, there's going to be the potential for conflict. But the Apostle Paul gives us ways we can do that. And first is that we need to be unified in Christ. And we can even read it here in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not in these things. It's not in these morally neutral issues. Oh, we can band together about that. But when I look at the audience here and I look at the congregation here and the congregation in Mansfield, there are not two people that agree on every issue at the same time together, even husband and wife. You've been around where you've talked to the husband and wife. You can see on certain issues, the husband and wife, while maybe the wife acquiesces to the husband on certain things, but you could see that there's a dichotomy there between the husband and wife on issues. Husband and wife unified together till death do us part. But what's the unity in? It's not in meat and drink. It's not in these things. And too often, brothers and sisters, we as believers, we have made that unity in things. But the Apostle Paul says, for the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. Those are things. They're things. things we enjoy, hobbies we enjoy, entertainment we enjoy, free time that we enjoy, work that we enjoy, clothes that we enjoy. I could go on. The list is endless. But we're not unified in meat and drink, the Apostle Paul is saying. And when our unity is in meat and drink, then when there's a little disputation, a little problem, it shatters. And we become angry. We don't talk to one another. But when it's in Christ and what Christ has done, it's in righteousness, the righteousness that is given by Christ. It's given by Christ. When you have faith, when you and I have faith in Christ, Christ gives us, God gives us his righteousness, and we give Jesus our sin, and it's nailed to the cross. That's what we're unified in. See, too oftentimes as believers, we think denominationally. This was written before there was ever denominations, when there was only those that were in Christ. You were either in Christ, you were either part of the way, or you weren't part of the way. Brothers and sisters, are we unified with each other in the righteousness of Christ? Do we recognize that Christ died for that person? That Christ died for our brother that we will not agree with on these issues, these adiaphorous, these morally neutral issues? Do we recognize that Christ died for him? He's part of the same family that I'm part of. It's in righteousness, peace, the peace that we have, that there's no more war. We are sitting at the table. We're not only at war, but we are at the King's table. We're feasting with God. Brothers and sisters, we sit and we feast at the table of the Heavenly Father. Romans says that we are joint, Paul in Romans writes, or here earlier in Romans, that we are joint heirs with Christ. What Christ has coming to him as his joint heir, as an heir of the Father, we have that as well. Think of it. Jesus Christ, we, you and I as believers, are joint heirs with him. That suddenly raises the expectations. We are joint heirs with him. What Christ has coming, we have too as well. And joy in the Holy Ghost, every believer, brothers and sisters, every believer, you have and I have the Holy Spirit. The God of this universe, the creator of this universe, is living inside of you. No longer, brothers and sisters, can we say we can't do something or we can't overcome this sin or we can't overcome this trial in our life, this difficulty. We can't say that anymore. Because when we say that, we say God can't do that. And suddenly now we see so much is opening up what we can be unified in, what we are unified in. It is in Christ that we're unified. We need to be unified in him. And the apostle in verse 1 says, him that is weak in faith, receive. So somebody that is weak in the faith, receive, accept him. And the word receive is not just receive, like tolerate him. It's welcome with open arms. Look to receive that person. Brothers and sisters, someone that disagrees with us on these issues of moral neutrality, do we look to talk with them? Do we look to fellowship with them? Do we look to engage with them? And not just on that issue. What the Apostle Paul is saying is, him that is weak in the faith, receive, but not just to dispute these things, not just to haggle over, not just to argue over. Sometimes we almost look for these issues that so we can haggle over. Paul is saying, if we want to be believers, if we want to engage in a godly discussion where the church, as Brother Allen spoke this morning, is edified and lifted up and everybody contributes, all the body parts of the contribute. We need to avoid some of these issues. And realize that they are morally neutral. That you like to wear a blue tie, I like to wear a pink tie. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to take a hard line stance on that. The Apostle Paul is saying, that's not what we should be engaging. Don't just accept the weaker one to dispute with him. He says, one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. What was probably happening here at this time, we probably had believers that became believers, came from Gentiles. And Gentiles, they could eat anything. The Jews had a certain diet they could only eat. They couldn't eat crawfish. They couldn't eat snails. They couldn't eat pork. But a believer that came out from a worldly or a pagan system, pork was regular to him. Pork was fun to him. Pork was enjoyable to him. But to the Jewish believer, it wasn't. And the Apostle Paul is saying, for one believes that he may eat all things. Another who is weak just eateth vegetables, just eats vegetables. And this is what happens. And this is why we as believers need to be very careful. The Apostle Paul, disputations occurred back then, they're going to occur now. That's okay. That's part of being a family. But how we as believers handle this, God will judge. And this is what was astounding to me, what I found out we'll talk about a little bit later. What happens is, when you have the strong one and the weak one comes in, the weak one's not eating the meat. He's not eating the pork. The tendency for the strong, the scripture says, is to despise, to look down on. Some people say, well, I don't despise the weak one. I don't despise. I just am a little irritated and I don't like it. Well, despise can also mean look down upon. So it's not just, I don't despise, therefore I'm not in violation of this. But brothers and sisters, when we're in the strong position, when we realize that God has made all things available to us, and when the Apostle basically says all things are available, he's saying all things that aren't specifically just prescribed in Scripture as sin. Obviously, lying is a sin, stealing is a sin, adultery is a sin, any sexual immorality is a sin, lust, envy, those are forbidden by Scripture. So those are not things that we as believers can ever enjoy outside their proper role. We cannot enjoy those things. But these things, when we see somebody come in, and we're going to use this very example, and he's not eating pork, the tendency for the strong believer is to look down upon and despise them. Why can't you just get with the program? Why can't you just figure out that Peter was shown that he can eat all these meats in Acts, I think Acts 1 or 2. He can eat all these meats. Why can't you just get with the program? And we kind of hammer the weak believer. That's the tendency. And Paul is saying, don't do that. Don't just hammer him because he has a conscience. The problem is let's say the person is alcohol is one of these adiaphorous issues about eating drink. Meaning, we know the scripture does not forbid the drinking of alcohol. It does forbid the drinking to an excess to drunkenness. But there's someone that may feel that it's a sin to do that. If we say, oh, just take it. Maybe this person was an alcoholic in his past. And if we just say, it's okay. And the person says, well, Erwin's strong. He's doing it. I guess I can't. And he goes back into his sin. And his conscience, which told him not to do this, is weakened. And so when something comes along later down the road that he should say no to, he says, well, my conscience is telling me no, but I did it before. I guess I can do it again. Our conscience is necessary. I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. It talks about how our conscience can be seared and our conscience is crippled if we sin against our conscience. We need to not sin against our conscience, and we need to be very cognizant and tender with those that are weak and not just impose our will upon them. Try it. It's okay. If they don't have faith to do it, let it go, brothers and sisters. Let it go. Verse 3 says, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eats, for God hath received it. And the tendency for the weak believer is to judge the other believer that's doing it. He'll judge him and say, well, look how close he's getting. I don't know. He's getting close to sin. It's getting close. And we start having our judgments, and we start condemning, saying what he's doing is so wrong. The Apostle Paul is saying in these issues, that we are allowed to disagree upon. That we are not, brothers and sisters, the weak is not to condemn and judge the strong. And the strong, they're not to disdain and despise and look down upon the weak. I think this could be a paradigm shift for us as believers, where we see that that behavior that we so readily engage in, we so readily just say little things and we put down, when we could say, you know what, these are issues of moral neutrality. If the brother doesn't want to do this, I'm okay with that. If the brother wants to do this, I'm not being caused to sin. I'm okay with that. I think we also need to be careful as believers that we don't always say, I'm offended. I think that's sometimes what happens. We try to maybe control the situation by saying, well, if you do that, I'm going to be offended. What we're saying when we say that is that we are weak. We're acknowledging that we're weak. And I've seen that probably some of the strongest brothers and strongest sisters, when they say they're offended, what they're really saying is, I'm a little annoyed at what you're doing. I'm a little irritated. I'm not comfortable with that. I don't like it. Those are all fine to have. But to raise a biblical prohibition against something based on my preference, brothers and sisters, is not biblical. And we do this scripture injustice because there are going to be some serious issues where we do need to defer and we do need to withhold our liberty and we do need to teach the weak and bring him along in a loving way. And I think that's the other thing, that we always have to make sure that we do all these things in love. Everything in verse 15, it says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. We need to do everything. When we're talking with other brothers and sisters, when we're engaging in these issues and we're speaking of this, it needs to be done in love. We need to be unified in Christ. We need to do all things charitably in love. As Brother Allen talked about this morning, in that bond that unites us, that love, that tenderness, we need to have one toward another. Verse 5, one man esteems one day above another, another one esteems every day alike. One person, this was in the Jewish days, there was all sorts of holidays. There's the Day of Atonement, there is the Feast of Tabernacles, and Jews, it was okay for Jews to still follow these holidays. There was nothing sinful in following the holidays still. But it was sinful to say you had to follow it. And the stronger believer shouldn't be condemning and judging and disdaining the weak believer, the one that just came out of Judaism and, oh, I got to follow this holy day. It was okay to follow it, but the judging back and forth is what the Apostle Paul is saying, don't be engaging in. And this is the paradigm shift. When I was reading all this, and then the Apostle Paul goes on and says, verse 7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. So all these believers, weak and strong, one's eating meat to the Lord and thanking him, one's not eating meat to the Lord and thanking him. Both believers in Christ, both loving Jesus, both are doing it to the glory and honor of God. One's not eating to the glory of God, one is eating to the glory of God. Two opposite positions, both equally giving glory to God. Brothers and sisters, do we allow that in our own selves? Do we allow that in our own churches with our own brothers and sisters? Do we see that and see, wow, that believer doing something that I'm not comfortable doing, he's giving glory to God while he's doing what I'm not comfortable doing. Are we comfortable in even thinking that as believers? That's what the scripture says. I'm just repeating what the scripture says. For me, that was hard at times to grasp. It was hard for me to grasp, wow, someone in the body of Christ that we're unified, we can have a totally different view on things and still give God the same glory. And the kind of the third thing as we're going through this, For whether we live, verse 8, or whether we die unto the Lord, whether we die unto the Lord, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. I think the last thing that we need to remember, kind of as we're thinking about weak and strong believers, is we need to remember that we are the Lord's. We have been purchased by a price. We are slaves and servants of Almighty God. We need to remember that, brothers and sisters. We are God's. God purchased us. He bought us with a price. And with that, we relinquish a lot of our own self. I think the Zion's Harp song, the beautiful one, says, "Let us not on our own rights always stand unduly." Sometimes we stand on our own rights, on our own opinions, on our own preferences, on the things that we like and don't like, and we stand on them. And when the Bible says we don't have a right to do that. And then the Apostle Paul says this, "For this end Christ died and revived, might be Lord of the living." Verse 13, he says, "So then," verse 12 says, "So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his own brother's way." Verse 10 says this, "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." When I did the study of the judgment seat of Christ about 10 years ago, I did it like the Romans has one, 1 Corinthians has a study, talk about that, and there's another scripture, that talks about the judgment seat of Christ. And I brought them out, I did a forum at camp. But when I went through this expositorily, I was wondering, why was Paul throwing this in here about the judgment seat of Christ right after believers and how they get along with each other? I know that in heaven we're going to be rewarded for how faithful we are here on this earth, how many souls that we've, the soul winner's crown, how many souls that we bring to Christ. There's God's going to reward us. He's deemed he's how many crowns we're going to get. That's what the scripture says. So he's decided that, and I understand that. Don't quite fully understand everything, but I understand that. But when I read this here and why it was put in here, it dawned on me as well, which is why going verse by verse is so powerful. What the Apostle Paul here is saying is, each of us, when we sit and stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to judge us. One of the ways he's going to judge us, and maybe you already knew this and may not be profound to you at all. It was to me. He is going to judge us by how we have treated and acted one towards another, the weak and the strong. That blew my mind. That he is going to judge us. How was I when the weak brother was slowing me down, and I was a little irritated at his lack of growth? "You should be further along, Joe. Why are you right there?" And maybe the older one is going a little faster than I like, and I'm a little bit upset at what he's doing, and how am I treating him? The scripture says, brothers and sisters, that God is going to judge us by how we treat one another on these issues where we have a little bit of a potential for conflict. That he's going to sit and say, "Erwin, how did you handle this weaker brother, and how did you treat him? Sister, how did you handle this situation? Brother, how did you handle someone that you disagreed with? Were you hard-lined against him? Did you disdain him? Did you judge him? Did you talk bad about him, or did you realize, you know what, he's doing it to the Lord, and I'm going to be unified in Christ. I'm going to be unified in that, and I'm going to realize I'm not my own." When we know, brothers and sisters, that a judgment is coming on our behavior and how we handle one another, I pray that the scriptures can change us and mold us. Because that's what it did. When I read this scripture, I was humbled at the word of God that how I interact on both sides of the spectrum, when I'm the weak, how I look at the strong, and when I'm the strong, how I look and how I treat my weak brother and sister, that I'm going to be judged, And I'm going to be standing before God. And the words that I have said and the attitude with which I had it when I spoke to that brother and sister, it will all be judged. Will it be forgiven? Of course it will be forgiven. It's already been forgiven at the cross of Christ. My sins have been forgiven. But how I act as a believer and the rewards and how much I can thank God with the crowns I throw at Revelation 4 says how I can throw these crowns at his feet, the capacity with which I can enjoy heaven and thank God heaven is dependent, brothers and sisters, on how we act here. And one aspect is how we treat one another. I hope, my wish, this stopped me dead in my tracks on my condemning attitude when I looked at the stronger brother, and it stopped me dead in my tracks partially. I still slip up. It stopped me dead in my tracks when I saw the weaker brother and saying, come on, move on. Why are you so weak? I pray, brothers and sisters, that the scriptures in your life will awaken that. Will awaken you and me to look at our lives and look at the relationships and realize I'm going to have to give an account for this. Sometimes we say, well, I'm a bull in a china shop, and that's just how I always am. I just tell it like it is. Perhaps that's not how you and I should always be. It's perhaps not always the best to be in a bull in a china shop because it can get quite expensive. And the damage can be pretty huge. Brothers and sisters, those who were not here this morning to hear the sermon, I encourage you, if you have tapes or CDs or have them online, to listen to it. May we be unified, as we heard this morning, in Christ. May we be unified in Him. May we realize, brothers and sisters, that we are not the Lord's. We are not our own, rather, we are the Lord's. We belong to Him, body and soul. We are His. May we realize that, brothers and sisters. May we be unified around that and give glory to our Heavenly Father. And may this be the theme, for the kingdom of God is not in things, it's not meat and drink, but it's in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that serveth these things serveth Christ. And here's the best thing. This is the most important thing, is acceptable to God. We all want to be acceptable to God. We haven't talked about accepting Christ, but the important thing is, does Christ accept us? Have we placed our faith in Him? If we place our faith in Him, He will accept us. And if we do these things, you know what the Bible says in verse 18? We're going to be approved of men. Why? It's like what Brother Allen said. They're going to see, there's a church in Akron. There's a church in Mansfield. There's a church in Windsor that they respect one another. They love one another. They're kind to one another. They're gentle with one another. That on these adiaphorous, non-moral issues, that they are tender with one another, that they can agree that it's not important to agree on everything, that they can look and see that the love that the brothers and sisters have towards each other is unique and special. And the scripture says that we will be acceptable to God. That's paramount. But the world is watching. What they're going to say is they're approved of men. Because there's something special. Because, you know, brothers and sisters, it's easy to get along with people that you agree with. If you agree with everything and you get along and it's easy to do that. But the more and more difference and diverse views and how we get along there gets a little more difficult. But when we use the principles of weak and strong believers that Paul lays out, it's amazing how simple it gets. Acceptable to God and approved of men.